Begin the current daf, Masechet Sanhedrin, daf Chav Dalet. Begin 11 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with a parenthetical discussion regarding what was mentioned in the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, one of the questions the Gemara had with Reb Meir's opinion in the previous Mishnah was, how is it possible that a Baal Din, a litigant, could just take the other litigant's Edim, witnesses, and just void them? He could pass them. How is that possible? So the Gemara discussed that, so regarding how, the resolution of the understanding of the Machlikas. One of the things said in that discussion, Gufa, the Gemara quotes from the previous daf, Amr Shlok, because she said, Peh Kaddish Yemedah Bezeh, would a holy mouth like that of a mayor say such a thing? How's it possible? So therefore, Tanei Eidei Resorish Lakish's interpretation in that pshat in the Gemara was to say that no, wasn't talking about two witnesses. Of course not. A Pishnaim Eidim Yakum Davr, a litigant can't just void two witnesses. It's talking about his singular witness. And that was the Gemara's discussion. Well, for what? If it's Lamam in any way the Torah apostles, if it's Levashua, so then it was talking about where he accepts him as two, that he could undo. But it can't be that it's talking about two witnesses. That was what Rish Lakish's statement was. On that, the Gemara asks, Ini, is that so that Rish Lakish would say such a reverent type of a statement? But Va'ama Ula Ula said, Haraya es Rish Lakish b'Beis HaMedrash, whoever saw Rish Lakish in the study hall in the Beis HaMedrash, kilo oikar harm, it's like he's like ripping up mountains, v'techen ha'zebezen, grinding them together. And that he would bang no matter who, whoever was at saying a pshat, we see that he had a great sharpness to his words, and yet when he's talking about a statement of Reb Meir, he's saying with such humility, how could it be that the holy mouth of Reb Meir would say that? How could it be that he would say it with such humility? On that, Ravin responds, says, what's the wonder? Whoever saw Reb Meir, this Tana in the Beis HaMedrash, kilo oikar hare harim. It's like he was ripping up the mountain of mountains. And grinding them together. In other words, that he was even greater and more mighty of a warrior and tire than Rish Lakish. So it makes sense, as great as and mighty as Rish Lakish was, that he would have deference to the Tana Reb Meir. So in that, the Gemara says, you're right, we weren't wondering when we had made this comment. Rather, Hachikama, this is what we were saying. A reflection, not a question. Bo yur e kama, come and hear, come and see how much the Tamid HaChacham of Eretz Yisrael were mechaven zezeh, that they were endearing one to the other, because Rish Lakish, although he was a sharp, wise person, yet still he called Reb Meir by saying the holy mouth, where he was endearing himself to the way he was saying and quoting over the holy Tana Reb Meir, and he was trying to resolve and understand it because they had such chashivas and they were so dear to the fellow Tamid HaChacham. Ki Yad Yosef Rebbe, as we find Rebbe, the same thing. Where, and this was in Eretz Yisrael, Vukamar, and he said, Asal Hatman Satsainin. Rebbe had said the following halacha. He says that it's forbidden to insulate cold water on Shabbos. Let's say someone's afraid that it's going to get hot. So you're not allowed to insulate it in cold sand on Shabbos. That was the halacha regarding the halachas of Shabbos, of the Sugi of Hatmana. Now, Amal Lefon of Rebbe Shmuel B'Rebisi, but Rebbe Shmuel B'Rebisi said in front of Rebbe, says, I just want you to know that Ab, my father, Rebbe, Hitul Hatman HaSatzayin, and he said it's permitted to insulate something cold on Shabbos. Something warm, you're not allowed to. Something cold, to keep it from getting hot, you're allowed to. So Amal Eisa, Rebbe said to him, oh, Kvar HaRezakin, so the elder, meaning Rebbe, your father, already paskin, already decided the law, and we follow him, and therefore it is permitted. So Amra Papa said, Boyre, come and see. How much the Tamid HaChacham and Eretz Yisrael were endearing one to the other. The Eilu Rabbi Yisi came, because had Rabbi Yisi himself been still alive, he would have been bent down and sitting in front of Rebbe and been subservient to whatever Rebbe's psak was. Because Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yisi, he took the place of his father, meaning he was just as chashev and distinguished as his father. And he was subservient and sitting in front of Rabbi. And yet, in spite of that, Rabbi still said, and the elder Rabbi Paskin, we see the chashivus they had one for the other. Now, in the Gemara, however, makes a contrast. That's the Tamid HaChacham of Eretz Yisrael. But Omar Beishi says, Maidach Sib, what's the understanding of this pasuk in Zechariah that says as follows? The Ekach Li Shnei Maklis. I take from me two sticks. Lechad Karasi Noim, one stick I call that of pleasantness. Lechad Karasi Chayiv, another one I call that of destruction. What are these two sticks? Noyam, that of pleasant. Eilu Tamidach Chacham Shebe Eretz Yisrael. That refers to the Talmudic scholars that are in Eretz Yisrael. Sheman Imen Zelazeh B'Halacha, that they sweeten one to the other with Halacha. That is, they're trying to help the other one in what he's trying to say. Chayvlim, but the destroyers, Il Tamid Chacham Sheba Bavel. That refers to the Talmudic scholars in Bavel. Shemacham Zel Zeb Alocha. That with some type of a forceful and the anger and the asking questions and knocking the other one's pshat. In Eretz Yisrael, they're pleasant and they work together and they're trying to help the other one fix up his pshat that he's trying to say and make it come out to the light of truth, in contrast to the Talmid Chacham Bavel, that they're knocking and fighting and disagreeing with the other one. So too, the pasuk in Zechariah that says "Vayomer Ela Shnei Bnei Hayitzer," and that he said that these are the two sons of the oil, Ha'imnim Begrim, that stand, etc. Now earlier it says "Ushnayim Zeisim Aleha," that there are the two olive trees that were on there. So what's the reference to the oil and to the olive tree? So Yitzer, which the oil as always represents Torah. So Yitzer, oil, Amr Bitzchuk, he says, Il Tamid Chacham Sheba Eretz Yisrael. That refers to the Talmud scholars in Eretz Yisrael, which the Girsa that the Bach adds on that Rashi has is Shemeshamnin, that they are lubricant, they're like pleasant, like oil. Shenoichin Zelazeh Bahalocha Geshem and Zayis, that they're pleasant one to the other, as pleasant as olive oil is. Ushneim Zeisim Aleha, when it says that the two olive trees were on it, Il Tamid Chacham Sheba Bavel, that's a reference to the Talmudic scholars in Bavel, Shemerudin Zelazeh Bahalocha Kezayis, that they're as bitter as one to the other, like the olive tree where the olive is, the leaves are bitter, that's a reference to the tree. That's the difference between, again, Talmud Chacham and Bavel and the Eretz Yisrael. So too, it says later on, which we're referring to the more contesting that there is in Bavel, it says ve'esa einai ve'era, that I lifted up my eye and I saw v'hinei shtayim nashim yoytzes, behold, two women were going out v'ruach b'kamfeim, they had wind in their wings v'lahenu k'nefayim k'kamfei achasida, and they had wings like the wings of the chasida bird v'tisena esa eifa, and they lifted up the measurement that of the eifa, which as we'll see is a reference to the yetzer hara. Bein Hashemayim bein Eretz, between heaven and earth. Va'omer la'malach ha'dever bi, and says the Nabi Zechariah, and I said to the angel that was talking to me, Anehem ha'malichis es ha'evam, where are they taking this measurement? Where are they taking this evil inclination? Va'omer la, and he said to me, Livnas la'bayis be'eretz Shinar, it's to build a house in the land of Shinar, which is a reference to Babel. Amar b'yechon ha'mishim b'shim ben Yechi, he says, Zu, these two women, are a reference to chanufa, to flattery, v'kasas ha'ruach, and to arrogance. And the way we know that is because ruach b'kamfeim, ruach is always a reference to gasas haruach, to an abundance of ego. And kamfei chasida, the wings of the chasida, that's a reference to flattery, where they show as if they're kind and they're there, and really that's just flattery. That's the chasida, where it has this false sense of chesed. Shiyar d'lebavl, which they went down to Eretz Shinar, which is to Bavl. Now, that the Gemara, however, asks, but Gassas Arach, Lubavl Nachas, is that really true that arrogance went down to Bavl? But V'amamara, the master, said, Asar Kavin Gassas Yardul Oilam, when it talks about 10 measurements of everything that went down to the world, said there were 10 Kavin of arrogance that went down to the world. Tisha Natla Elam, but 9/10 of it went to Elam. The Achas Kalam Kulay, and the other 10th went to the rest of the world. So how could you say that arrogance was in Bavl when it's in this place called Elam? Says Gemara, in yes, no, Lebavel Nachas, it went down first to Bavel. That was from the two things. If Ishtarvuvehu Dishtarvuv Le'elam, then it ultimately found its way to Elam, but at first, when it came down to Bavel. And says the Gemara, Dekinami, it's precisely so, because the Chsiv, the Pasuk says, Libnus La Bayis Be'eret Shina, says to build for it a house in the land of Bavel, and it doesn't say Lohem. Obviously, we see that it's only one of those two things that ended up staying in Bavel, Shema Menah, because what ended up leaving, Chanufa, that flattery stayed in Bavel, but Gassas Aruach, arrogance, ended up traveling down to Elam from Bavel. Now, the Gemara asked, how can you say this? But the Master said, Simen L'Gassas Aruach Anias. The symptom of arrogance is poverty. Vanias L'Bavel Nachas, and we know that poverty went down to Bavel, so it's Bavel that has the Gassas Aruach, not Elam. Says the Gemara, no, my Anias. What does it mean that if there's arrogance, there's poverty? It doesn't mean the arrogant person is going to be poor. It means Anis Torah, the person is going to have a paucity, is going to have a deficiency in Torah. Because arrogance, it deflects the ability to accept the words of Torah. That's like it says the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It says, Achais Lona Ketana, that the metaphor is saying that we had for us our small minor sister, B'shedayim Ein La, and she didn't even have breasts. Which Rabbi Yechonin says, Zu Elam, that's a reference to Elam, Shazach Salomag, where the Talmid Chacham there were merited to learn, but Veloy Zach Salalamid, like the lack of Shadayim, but however, they did not merit to go out and teach others, which that's a reference to Daniel, who was in Elam, as the Pasuk says in Daniel Chaz, Vani Beshushan Abir Shabi Elam HaMedina, he was in Elam, and he didn't go ahead and disseminate Torah. Whereas Ezra, who is in Bavel, the Pasuk says in Ezra, V'lamad chayka mishpat b'Yisrael, he did disseminate the words of Torah to others. So although there was poverty in Bavel, but the poverty of Torah was in Elam because they had the gasaruch, they had the arrogance. And the Gemara says, my Bavel, why is it called Bavel? So Amar B'Yechon says because it's from the word of Balula, that it's mixed, Balula b'mikra, it's mixed over there that they have Chumash, Balula b'Mishnah, that they're mixed over there, that they have Mishnah, Balula b'Talmud, it's mixed over there, that they have Talmud, meaning it's a mixture of all those things, that the three parts that they have there in Bavel, again, in contrast to Elam, where in Bavel they were Zeicha to have all the different parts of Torah. And the Gemara concludes, again, talking about the negativity of the Talmid Chacham in Bavel, says a pasuk in Eicha, b'machshakim ha'yishivani k'meisi olam, that in darkness I was placed like the dead ones of the world. Amar Birmi says, Zeh Talmud Shel Bavel, that's a reference to the Talmud of Bavel, where the Talmid Chacham were not pleasant one with the other, and therefore the teaching was always doubtful in the hands. In Eretz Yisrael, they came over to clarity because everyone was helping the other one. In Bavel, where they're always fighting, therefore there was a lack of clarity, and that's why it's considered b'machshakim ha'yishivani, that it was in darkness that I sat, a reference to the Talmud of Bavli. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, where we were talking about this concept, Zebar, we opened up the parak Zablo, that the Zebar Le'echa, talking about how they choose the judges. So the Mishnah continues on that theme, and says, if Amar Lo'i, if one of the litigants says to the other one, Nemun Alai, I believe for me to be a judge, Abba, my father, who although biblically he's invalid from being a judge for me, not to make me win the case, not to make me lose the case, as the Gemara teaches later on, the Chazayin Mabez from Lo Yumsu Abbas Albanim, a father cannot judge a child. But he says, I believe him, I'll take him for arbitration, whatever you want to call it, I allow him to be a judge for me. Or Nemun Alai Avicha, I believe for me, your father to be a judge. Or Nemun Alai Shleisha Roi Bakar, or I believe for me to be three shepherds of cattle. So Remeya says, although these people are not eligible really to be judges, but if a person accepts, so then he accepts, and then they can go ahead and decide the law. But Remeya says, Yochalach Zabai. However, he could back out. As we said, similar halacha in the previous Mishnah regarding he could apostle and say, you know, although I accepted, but I'm backing out. They're not really valid judges. Although I accepted, I don't want that to be the case anymore. V'chamayim, they disagree. They say, no, in the yachalach, so he can't back out. Once he accepted them as judges, although they're not intrinsically fit, but once he accepted that, then he can't back out. Now, so too continues the Mishnah with another machlokes, Remeir and the Chacham. Hayichayv l'chaveri shvua. And if, let's say, the one litigant was liable for an oath to his friend, Vamalai, and the one who was able to make the claim that you have to swear to me, he tells him, look, you don't have to make to me a regular Shavuos Bezdin. Rather, durli, which is the terminology of taking an oath, swear to me b'chai roshcha, with the life of your head. Meaning to say, like a common oath, not like a court-imposed oath. So Remeir, I mean, he says, yachalach zabai. So, but that guy could back out and say, no, I want you to give me a full court oath. Again, they say, no, ain't yachalach zabai, can't back out. And then once he downgraded him, he says, no, all you have to do is this. And the guy wants to make such an oath, he can't back out anymore. Now, the Gemara explains the opening halacha of the Mishnah, Amar Abdimi, Bereid Rav Nachman, Bereid Rav Yosef, he says that he accepts, let's say, his father or his father, is kagoyin de kibla aleo b'chad, is where he accepted his father or the other father to be one of the three judges. So the halacha of the Mishnah is telling us that even though there are two other valid judges, and still Remeir tells us, that since the third judge was not a valid judge, although he accepted, he could still back out. Because regular judges, you can't back out. But here, where he wasn't really a judge, you accepted, you could still back out. Now, the Gemara has a machlekes regarding explaining the machlekes of our Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, machlekes, the whole machlekes in our Mishnah between Remeir and the Chachamim was b'macholach. And that is, if the claimant says to the defendant, says, look, I believe, although, you know, as the third judge, my father, your father, which is that if they say that you win, okay, so I'm meichel to you the money that you owe me. So on that, says the Gemara, it was over there that the Rabbanan said that he can't back out. Why? Because the moment that he said, I'm Meichel, the defendant has the money already by himself. So once he wins the court case, once he merits it, so then the claimant cannot go ahead and back out anymore. So that's where the Machlekes was. The Rabban held, yeah, the guy has it already, we'll Meichel it, so it's already his. Whereas the Meir said, no, he could back out. Aval be'etin loch, but regarding a case where the defendant says to the claimant, the other way around, that if your father or my father makes me guilty, I'm going to pay up, I'm going to give, even though they're not valid judges. Everyone agrees, even according to the Chachamim, that he could back out. Why? Because there, since the money is still by him, it's not enough authority and power for the claimant to take away money, only if there's kosher dayanim. Look, if he accepts and he was willing to do it, fine, he's willing to do it, but he could back out as long as he hasn't given the money, because here he has to give it. In contrast, when it's machalach, when it's the claimant who's saying to the defendant that, yeah, I'm okay, whoever the father or my father, your father it is, so then he already has it. So therefore, once he wins, and therefore he can't back out, in contrast to the case of etenlach, where he has to actually give it. Until he gives it, he could back out. That, according to everybody. That's how Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul qualifies the machlokes. Rabbi Yechonama, he disagrees. He says, no, be'etenlach machlokes. By the case of, I will give you, there is the machlokes that even over there, in other words, in that case, it's not that everyone agrees that you could back out, and that is the Chacham would still hold that you cannot back out. Now, the following question in Rabbi Yechonon's opinion, is he saying be'etin loch machlokes, that the machlokes was only in the case of the defendant telling the claimant that I will give, if it's your father or my father, I'll still give. Av b'machloch, when there was a claimant telling the defendant that I will forgive if they find exonerate you, that dear divrakol in your chalachzba, that dear everyone agrees that you can't back out. And that's Rabbi Yechon saying, it's by etinlach, but by machalach, of course he can't back out because it's already done. Oidim, or maybe that, no, bein bezu, machalikis. Rabbi Yechon was just saying that even by etinlach is machalikis, but also by machalach is also machalikis, and that it's not only by etinlach. So Zigmar Tashema, come in here, we'll bring a raya, because the Amar Rav, Rav had said, machlokes be'etenlach. He said the machlokes is by the case of when the defendant tells the claimant, yeah, even if it's your father, I'll give it to you if they find me guilty. Avo b'machlach, but if it's a case when the claimant says the defendant, that, yeah, even if it's your father, if he exonerates you, if he exempts you, then it's forgiven, you don't have to pay me. Divrei hakol ein yochel lachzabay. There everyone holds that he cannot back out anymore, because once he's Meichel, it's over. It's the guy has the money already. He was the defendant. So says the Gemara, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yechonah holds that the Machlokes is only by when I'm going to give you. When the other person says, okay, then I'll forgive what you owe me. That everyone agrees you can't back out. So that would make sense that Rav Adam Rabbi Yechonah. So Rav would be going like the opinion of Rabbi Yechonah. But if you're going to say Rabbi Yechonon holds that the machlekes was by both cases, etinlach and meichelach, chum hold, you cannot back out, you may hold, you could back out. So then Rav Adam Kaman. So then Rav is not like either one of the two interpretations that we had. So it's like, okay, Rav time did not come. Rav is saying his own interpretation, and he's disagreeing with both Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul and Rabbi Yechonon. So therefore, there's no raya. Kavi Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul holds the machlekes only by meichelach, but by etinlach and holds that you could back out. Rabbi Yechonon would hold that the machlekes is by both machalach and etenlach, and Rav would hold that the machlekes is only by etenlach, but by machalach, then actually everyone holds that he could back out, and therefore there's no raya from Rav to Rabbi Yechonon. It could be Rav holds that by machalach actually that divrei hakol ein yochalach, so by that he can back out, but it's not a right to Rabbi Yechonon. Now Esavei Rav Acha bar Tachlif l'Rav, he asked in Rav's interpretation from the halacha of our Mishnah. The second half of our Mishnah spoke about a similar type of a machlokes, where chayv lechaveri shvua. If one of the litigants was obligated in an oath to the other litigant, v'amalai, and the other one tells him, says, look, you don't have to make a court-imposed oath to me. Durli b'chayi reishcha, just swear to me by the life of your head, and I'll take that as a valid oath for our litigation. So Remeya ime yochalach. So the Mishnah said, Remeya says that even though he promised him that he could downgrade his oath, he could back out and require him to give a regular oath. The Chacham in Yochalas B'Chacham said that no, he can't back out. As Gittin Tamad Beis says the Gemara, my love, isn't it talking about what type of an oath is generally the oath? Ba'isin hanishboin, by those who swear to exempt themselves, that is v'loy mishalman, that they shouldn't have to pay, because that's generally what the oath is, usually nishboin v'loy mishalman. Where the claimant says, durli, swear to me, tahavali kamachalach, which that's like a case of, and I'll forgive you, and still we see that there is a machlekes between Rebbe and the Chacham, if you could back out or not, which is not like Rav. Rav said by machalach, that everyone would agree that any achalach, but you can't back out anymore, it's already a done deal. So Zigmar, Allah, no, it's not difficult on Rav. But Eitzin Hanishboin v'naitlin. The Mishnah is this, their machlekes regarding a case of those who swear and collect, where there are certain unique cases, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shavuos, regarding, let's say, an employee or someone that was stolen from, where they get to swear and collect, where it was, in this case, it was the defendant, it was the defendant who was saying, okay, swear to me even not a court-imposed oath, and I'll give you what you're swearing to say that I owe you, which lets, like, the employer to the employee. Where the Havali Kedmach, that's the case of, I will give you, that's where they have the machlekes. But it's not difficult on Rav, because it was a case of Nishboin B'lei Meshalman, then actually everyone would agree that Eino Yochel Achzibay, that he can't back out. But that asked the Gemara, if that's how you're interpreting the seif of the Mishnah, there's two machlekes in. If you're interpreting the seif of the Mishnah, a case of Etin Lach, but V'atani Lei Reisha, but you, we already learned that same exact halacha in the Reisha of the Mishnah, because you explained the case of Neman Alai Abba, of Avicha, and all those cases, by Etin Lach, because you said that that's the only case they disagree, Rava, but they don't disagree by Machlach. So then why do we need two different cases in the Mishnah to teach the same halacha of Etin Lach, that that's where we have Machlach, it's Rebbe and the Chachamim, if you go back out or not? Says the Gemara, no, Tana, Toilah B'dasachem. The Reisha taught us a case of when he's contingent on other people's decisions, which is regarding the case of my father or your father. B'tana, and in the Seif we taught, Toilah B'das Atzmoy, where it's contingent on the litigant himself, meaning his friend, the other litigant. Utricha, and says the Gemara, we needed to say both those cases. Why? D'itana tel abedas achayim, had we only said the case of the reisha, when you're contingent on someone else, where one litigant says that, you know, I trust my father, I trust your father. But how come Reb Meir de Matzi Hadarbe, maybe only over there Reb Meir would say that you could back out, Mishum de legamar mikni, because the litigant who is trusting, let's say, that guy's father to be the judge, he's not conclusively agreeing to go ahead and give the money. Because to Amar, he says, Miyemer de Mezakile, who's saying that they're going to find favor for him, even though it's my father or his father? In other words, and if I would know that they would find favor for him, then I would never have said it. And therefore, since he never conclusively decided to give the money to that person, therefore he could still back out. But the case of the Seifa, when he's contingent on the other litigant, then he definitely entertains the thought that for sure this guy is going to swear to exempt himself. And he knows beforehand, and therefore he's Michael from the get-go. So then in that case, I would actually say that then Remei would agree to the Rabbanan that most definitely you cannot back out, because he knows already the guy's going to swear, and therefore he's ready to go ahead and pay this guy money. And therefore, we have to say that even over there, Remei says no, that you could back out. And so too in the reverse, B'yashmin Bahad, we only said the case of the Seifa of those who swear to collect. Bahakam Rabban, maybe only over there the Rabban say that you can't back out, because there he knows that he's going to. And therefore, once he agrees in the beginning, it's like he was already Michael, it's already out of his bank account. Abahi, but the case of the Reisha, when it's contingent on they're his father or your father to be the judge, maybe I would say when the greeter may that he could back out, because he doesn't think for sure he's going to have to pay the money. He doesn't think that for sure they're going to find favor in his friend, even if it's his father or the other guy's father. So therefore, it's true. Therefore, we have to say that no, even over there, Rabban hold that in the second he agrees, he can't back out anymore. And therefore, it was necessary. Yeah, the both cases of Etin Lach, like Rava, and however, it's still necessary to say the two different cases of Toilah B'das Atzma and Toilah B'das Acher. Because if we would have said one and not the other, we would have thought in Remeo or the Rabbanan that they wouldn't necessarily disagree on both of those cases. So that was one machlekes we had between Rabbi Yechanan and another disputant regarding the machlekes of a Mishnah. Now the Gemara brings another machlekes with Rabbi Yechanan and another disputant regarding how to qualify the halacha, the machlekes of our Mishnah. Amar Shlakish, he says, machlekes lefnei gemar din. The whole machlekes Remei and the Chacham was before the conclusion of the court case, which was after that they made the claims in front of us, but they didn't conclude the court case. So then this guy comes to back out. And that's the machlekes, could he back out or not? Aval acha gemar din, but if the court case was already, the verdict was already passed down, divrei hakol ein yachal achzav beis hazer shlekes, everyone would agree, even Reb Meir, that you can't back out anymore. Whereas Reb Yechon Amar, he disagrees. He says, no, acha gemar din machlekes. The machlekes is after the court case was finished, and this guy said, I trust my father to be, and after the court case, he says, you know, I back out. I don't want my father, or you you don't have to give an oath. No, I changed my mind. That's where there's a machlekes. Reb Meir says, yeah, he could back out. Now, Ibailu did the following question, similar to what had in Rabbi Yechanan's previous machlekes. La'achar gemar din machlekes, is Rabbi Yechanan saying that the machlekes is only after the conclusion of the court case? Avlefnei gemar din, but if they didn't yet conclude the court case, divrei kol yochel lachzav, but then everyone would agree, even the chachamim, that it could back out. Or maybe no, bein mezu machlekes. Machlekes remain the chachamim. What Rabbi Yechanan is saying is by both. Not only like Reish Lakish, who said before gemar din, but even la'achar gemar din. But not that it's only Achir Gemar Din. The Machlekes is, even before Gemar Din, that is the Chacham, even they would hold that you cannot back out. Says the Gemar Tashma, I'll come in here, similar as it tried in the first Machlekes, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol, is the Amar Rava, from a statement of Rava. Rava says, Kibul Alav Kar Vipasal, which is the case of Abba or Avicha, if one of the litigants accepted one of the individuals who is either a relative or someone that's possible to be a judge, so, lefnei gemar din yochel achzav. If it's before the conclusion of the court case, he can back out. La'achar gemar din ein yochel achzav. But if it's after the verdict was passed down, then he can't back down anymore. Says the Gemara, I amit b'shleim la'achar gemar din machlekes. If you're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan holds that only after the conclusion of the court case, that's where we've machlekes remain the chachamim. Aval lefnei gemar din, but if it's before the conclusion of the court case, divrei hakol yochel achzav. Everyone holds that you could back out. So then Rava, who paskin the halacha, that you could back out before the Gemar Din, but not after Gemar Din, the Amak Rabbi Yechanan, he'd be saying like Rabbi Yechanan, Valibad Rabbanan. He'd be saying the way Rabbi Yechanan qualifies the machlekes of our Mishnah, and the psak halacha, which was Rava was coming to say, would be like that opinion of our Mishnah, of the Rabbanan. Eli Iyamit, but if you say that Rabbi Yechanan held bein bezu machlekes, that the Chacham actually disagree even by lefnei Gemar Din, not just lachar Gemar Din. But he was saying, even by before Gemar Din, the Rabbanan would hold that you cannot back out. So Rabbi Dama Kaman, so then who would Rabbi be saying like? Because both according to Reish Lakish and according to Rabbi Yechanan, the Rabbanan hold that even before Gemar Din, you cannot back out. Meaning, if you say Rabbi Yechanan holds Bein Bezu, Mein Bezu Machlekes, Reish Lakish for sure, he said the Machlekes only Lefnei Gemar Din. And Rabbi Yechanan in that version would be saying that also Lefnei Gemar Din, Rabbanan would hold that you cannot back out, yet Rav is saying that the Chacham, or whatever the Halacha is, after Gemar Din you can't back out, but before Gemar Din you could, who would that be going like? As Rashi explains, you can't say that Rav would be going like Reish Lakish, like Reb Meir, and therefore that's how he would be explaining, because, yeah, after Gemar Din Reish Lakish says, everyone holds that you cannot back out. The Halachah is only before Gemar Din, and that Reb Meir was saying that you could back out, and Chacham hold that you cannot back out, so then Rava would be like Reish Lakish's version in Reb Meir, and that says Rashi, the Gemara didn't entertain that, because it can't be that Rava left the opinion of the Rabbanan to do like Reb Meir, where as the Gemara passings later on, the Halach is like the Chacham. Moreover, the Gemara could not entertain to say that here, as it said in the previous Gemara's discussion, that Rava was saying his own opinion, and he held that when did the Rabbanan disagree? It was only after Gemar Din, but before Gemar Din they agree. But you're right, according to Rabbi Yechanan, maybe you could say his is a different opinion than Rava, and Bein Mezu Machlekes. The Gemara didn't entertain that either, because Rava, unlike in the previous Gemara's discussion, Amud Aleph, is not coming to define the Machlekes in our Mishnah. He was saying a Psak Din, he was saying the Halacha, and therefore, since he never qualified the Machlekes in any other way, he obviously was going like either like Rabbi Yechanan or Reish Lakish, who were the two previous clarifications of the Machlekes in the Mishnah. So he's going based on that. So who is he saying like when he's saying that the Machlekes is only that the halacha is that after Gemar Din he cannot back out, but before Gemar Din he could back out? Allah rather must be Shema Mina La'acha Gemar Din Machlekes. That he's going like Rabbi Yechanan, and the Machlekes Reb Meir and Rabbanan was only after the conclusion of the court case, if you could back out or not. But before the Gemar Din, everyone holds that you could back out, Shema Mina, and therefore that's why he was going like Rabbi Yechanan, like Rabbanan, which is that, and therefore we see that Rabbi Yechanan was only saying La'acha Gemar Din, not Bein Mezu Machlekes, because after Gemar Din, there's the Machlekes, but before Gemar Din, everyone holds that you could back out. That's how Rav was paskening. Now, continue on the halacha of these discussions. Shalach le Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizkel, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, he says, Gilamdeinu Rabbeinu, let our teacher teach us. Lefnei gemar din machlekes is, and this is going back on, there's two machlekes, Rabbi Yechanan's in qualifying the halacha of a Mishnah, and these two next discussions are going on both those machlekes, and this is going on this just last one mentioned, where he was asking exactly this point. Is there machlekes remain Rabbanan if you could back out or not from, let's say, picking the father as the judge? Was that only before the conclusion of the court case? Or is it after the conclusion of the court case, if you could back out or not? And moreover, so now, after you'll tell me what their machlekes was, v'halocha k'dev Rimei, and who does halocha follow, like Rimei or the Chacham? So Shalach Lehi sent him, la'acha g'mar din machlekes, like we had said from Rabbi Yechanan, that the machlekes is after the conclusion of the court case. V'halocha k'dev Chacham, and halocha is like the words of the Chachamim, in Rabbi Yechanan's opinion, which is how Rava had said it before. A different version, Rav Ashi, he says, Hachi Shalach Lehi, this is what he sent him, which is actually his question was regarding the previous machlekes, Rabbi Yechanan, with Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. Be'etin loch machlekes? Was there machlekes regarding if someone could back out or not, regarding when the litigant had said that I trust my father or your father to be the judge for me to have to actually give to you? Or is the machlekes only regarding a case when he's saying that I'll forgive you what you owe me? Regarding that case, was that the machlekes? And also, v'alocha k'dev Rimei, and who does alocha follow, like Rimei or the Chacham? So Shalach Lehi, he sent him be'etin loch machlekes, which was like Rabbi Yechanan also on the previous machlekes, that it's a case of when he says that I will give to you. And v'alocha k'dev Chacham, alocha follows like Chacham, who says that you cannot back out. Where even in such a case, where saying that I'll give to you, where it wasn't even done yet, machlekes, you could say that, okay, it's already done, as we said in Amud Aleph, even over there, the halacha is like the Chacham, where he says, even in the case of etin loch, where he says, I'll give to you, once he promised that he can't back out and say, no, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do a regular judge, or you have to give me a regular oath. Now, says the Gemara, Besur Masnu Haki. In Surah, this is how they taught, these were the questions that were asked. Pumbedisa Masnu Haki, in the place Pumbedisa, they taught as follows. That Amram Chanina Bar Shlemya, Sholchu Leib Mibay Rav Lishmul, they sent from the Yeshiva of Rav Tashmul, Yilamdein Rabbeinu, let our teacher teach us. Lefnei Gemar Din. Let's say it's before the conclusion of the court case. But they made an acquisition from the beginning that, look, we're agreeing on this. I don't want no backsies, no tracksies over here where it's like, okay, before the Gemara Din, you're going to back out, and maybe even La'acha Gemara Din, but we're making a kin over here, we're deciding your father, my father, whoever it is going to be that third judge. My word, Allah be over there. Shalach Lehu, he sent to them, Ein la'acha kinyan klum. After a kinyan, there's nothing to talk about. Once a person makes an acquisition that they're agreeing for that to be, he can't back out, even though it's even before the Gemara Hadin. Now the Gemara moves on with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the discussion regarding the appropriate judges and witnesses, which were the discussion in the previous two Mishnayas that apply in a court case. So it says the Mishnah of Elohein Apsulna. These are individuals that are invalid to judge and to be witnesses. And they are Hamasachik Bekuvio, the one who plays with dice, which really means like these pieces of wood that they would play with this gamble, which really what gambling is. It's a gamble where you're thinking that you will likely win, but you're not 100% sure. There's that element of risk, which the Gemara will explain, all these different types of individuals, that they're similar to robbers on some level. And since they're similar to being robbers, the Torah tells us in Shemais Chaf Gimel, Al Tashas Rasha Eid, you can't have a wicked person that steals to be a witness, and for sure he can't be a judge, which you have to have even a higher standard of being unbiased. V'hamava B'ribis, another individual, someone that lends money on interest. U'mafricha Yainim is someone that plays this game with the doves flying. V'seichri Shvi'is, and the merchant that deals with Shemitah produce, which these are all things that are problematic, but the primary characteristic of these individuals are that since, because of a desire of money, they will violate Torah law, so they're like a wicked person of Hamas, where he would come to steal, and that the Torah tells us is forbidden for that person to testify and for sure to judge, because he's going to lean towards money, and that's going to blind him from being totally honest. Now, Amr B'Shimon, he says, regarding the last individual, says, B'tchilo ha-yukarnais, and in the beginning they would call these individuals, which the Gemara will explain what he's referring to on Daf Chavav, they would call them Eisvei Shvi'is, the gatherer of Shemitah produce. But Mesherabu ha-nasim, but when the oppressors increased, Chazor l'kreis and Seichri Shvi'is, then they went to call them the merchants of the Shemitah produce. which again, Shemitah produce, one is not allowed to do commerce with Shemitah produce. Now, Amr Behudi qualifies, he says, Imasay, when did we say regarding the first individual, the one who is who's invalid because he's a Masacheb with Kuvi, he gambles? He says that's they're only considered possible bizman she'ein lam umnus elohu, when the only profession he has is being a gambler. So since he's not involved in regular human relations in the social realm of the business world, so he's not proficient in the intricacies of commerce because he doesn't know anything about legitimate business, and because he's only involved in the underworld of gambling. And moreover, he's not someone that fears sin because he's doing this. He's not involved in higher standard types of life. But if he has a different profession besides his gambling, then he is valid to be a witness and a judge for a court case. Now the Gemara asks, actually, what is the problem? What is the gambler doing already? So Amar Rami Bar Chama, he says, Mishum Havas Machta, the reason is because when a gambler wins a game against his the one that he's playing against, is the one who gives is not willingly giving his money because he's relying on something that's not, because he thinks that he's going to win. But sometimes it happens that the other guy wins him. And since he's relying on not really having to give, Vasmachta Loi Kanya, when there's a situation where a person is relying on not really having, although he promises, yeah, if I lose, I'll give, but he really relying that he thought he's going to win, that's not a full-fledged kinyan. It's not a valid acquisition to the guy he has to pay up to. So it's like the guy who's winning that gambling bet, it's as if he's robbing that person from his money because it's not a full-fledged kinyan. And because of that, he's like a goslin, this Masacheb Kuvi, who's like stealing from the one he wins from, and therefore he's going to be puzzled, like the Torah says regarding someone who steals, from being an aid in Bashur Adayin. Rav Sheshet Shammah, he gives a different interpretation. He says, no, kol ki ha'gavna lav asmachtihi. The cases of our Mishnah regarding the gambler, that's not like a situation of asmachta. Because he says, what's a case of asmachta? It's like where the Gemara Bav Metziah in Gimel Mabeis says, where the person says that, oh, if I leave the field fallow that I'm taking for you and I don't do any work, oh, I'll pay you the best type of a crop. Or let's say someone puts his document that he paid a part of it to a third party, as the Gemara says in Babasakab Samachasam and Aleph, says, oh, if I don't come back by that time, you could just give it back to the lender and let him collect the whole thing. There are persons relying on nothing because he thinks, of course, I'll end up getting it done. And from the beginning, he's intending when he makes that condition that, of course, I'm not going to end up giving. And that's considered stipulating regarding an asmachta because he makes a mistake. He thinks it's never going to come to that. Ends up coming out. Could you imagine? He didn't end up coming back, or he didn't end up working the field, but I didn't mean to. I just said it because I was so totally confident. That's asmachta leikanya. That would be a situation of a person not having a mind at all. But in this case over here, he's not relying on anything. He doesn't know if he's going to win the next hand or not. And even so, he stipulates, and he says, yeah, if I lose, I'll pay up. So obviously, it was even out of the doubt that he stipulated, and therefore he was conclusively makna, and therefore, says Rav Sheshet, that's not considered theft. A gambler winning, he knows he might not win. As confident, as great as he is in that game, he knows he might lose. Ela rather, what's the problem with Masacheb Kuvi regarding being an eight or a dime? Is lafisha ein asukin b'yeshuv b'shalaylam. It's only because he's not involved in the business world. And he doesn't know what's going on, therefore it's not valid for him to be an aid or a dayan, but not because he's considered a gazel. Now the Gemara's maybe now, what's the halachic difference between these two interpretations? It could be now you degama umnos achrita. The difference between them is if he's learned it in another profession, where if you say that it's because asmachta leikanya, and he's like stealing from the other person who doesn't really want to give it, or didn't really intend to give it, and now the guy's like forcibly taking because you agreed, but he didn't really agree because he's only relying, thinking for sure that he's going to win, and really the other guy, this Masacheb Kuvi, ends up winning. So then it would be possible, even if he has other professions. But if he says, of course, he's not Yosik B'Yeshuv B'Shalaylam, this guy is, but this is his night thing that he does, then, according to that interpretation of Rav Sheshet, he would be kosher to be an aid and a dayan. Now, the Gemara brings a proof for the interpretation of Rav Sheshet, because it's not, we learned in the Mishnah that Amr Behudi says, Amosai. He qualifies the halacha of the Mishnah, and he says, when did we say Masacheb Kuvi is possible is bizman she'ein lam umnus elohu? It's only if he doesn't have any other profession but gambling. Aval yeshlem umnishalayhu, but if he has another profession that's not that, harizik sherm. So then these individuals, mesachik bekuvias, are going to be kasher. So says the Gemara, Alma, time of demasnit, mishum yeshuva shalayim, who's obviously you see from our Mishnah, that as the way Rabbi Huda qualifies it, that the psul of mesachik bekuvias, because he's not involved in the business world. But if he is, then gambling would not be a problem. But if he held that it was stealing, it would be a problem even if you are a businessman. Obviously, you see like Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara says, Sekashel Ram Bachama. So that's a difficulty on the interpretation of Ram Bachama, who said that, no, it's because of a smach lekanya. And even if you have a great job, but if at nighttime you're gambling, you would be possible to be an eight or a dine. Says the Gemara, Mechitem, and if you're going to say to resolve Ram Bachama, that Pligi Rabbana led Rabbi Yehuda, that the Rabbana disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, it's not a difficulty. Yeah, Rabbi Huda holds like Rav Sheshes. But the Rabbanan, who says, Rabbi Muhammad, I'm coming to explain them, they hold this because of Smach Leikanya. That says the Gemara, you can't say that. Because of Amri, B'Shuman Levi says, Kamakam Shem Rabbi Huda, whatever Rabbi Huda says in the Mishnah, as we continue in the time of Chafei Manalf, Emosai, that when did we say this, like in our Mishnah? Or if he says, Ubama, where he says, like, Bamed Ramum, when did we say this? Eina Ela Lefarish, the Chacham, is only coming to explain the opinion of the Chacham. And Rabbi Yechanam, he says, no, Amosai Lefarish, Amosai comes to explain, Ubamah Lechlik, but when he says, and when did we say this, that's coming to disagree. But one thing says the Gemara, Dukuli Alma, both Rabbi Shubman Levi and Rabbi Yechanan hold that Amosai Lefarishu, that when did we say this, that word Amosai is coming to explain. So therefore, Rabbi Huda is the same as the Chacham, which is like Rav Sheshes, not like Rama Bachama. To which the Gemara answers, Gavra Gavra Karamas, what you're asking from Rabbi Shubman Levi on Rabbi Yechanan on Rama Bachama? Marsav Repligi. Rambam Machama holds that even when Rabbi Huda says Amosai, he is disagreeing. Marsav Alei Pligi. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Levi holds that, no, that's not disagreeing. So therefore, Rambam Machama could answer that I hold the Chacham are saying Asmach Lekanya. Rabbi Huda is disagreeing when he says Amosai, and that's like Rav Sheshes. Now the Gemara actually asks, Alei Pligi? The Gemara actually asks on Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yechanan that, is it really so that Rabbi Huda is not disagreeing with the Chacham? It would seem like Rabbi Muhammad that Amosai Rabbi Huda is disagreeing. Because of a Tanya Lin, the Brai says as follows. Bein sheyesh lo umnes shalayhu, whether if he has a different profession that's not the gambling, bein sheein lo umnes elohu, whether if he does not have any other profession besides the gambling, says the Braisa, harei ze posel. This individual is going to be posel as a mesachik b'kuvya. Now, that is obviously not totally be yeshuva shalaylam, because one of these two cases, he has a day job, and he is asking be yeshuva shalaylam, and still the Tana is saying that he's going to be posel. Obviously, you see that Chacham disagree with Rabbi Huda and hold that it's because of asmach lekanya, which is like Rambam Chama, which is difficult, and Rabbi Shubman Levi and Rabbi Yechon, who say that Rabbi Huda is the same as the Chacham. And that answers the Gemara, no. Truthfully, we could still give Shubman Levi that Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah of Amosai is coming to explain the opinion of the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanah of the Mishnah do not disagree with what Rabbi Huda qualifies. And the Mishnah and this Bryce that we quoted that says, Bein sheyeshli umnes, or if he doesn't have any other umnes, which sounds like that the reason is because of a smachta, hahi Rabbi Huda mishum Reb Tarfani. That's a third opinion. That's Rabbi Huda who says in the name of Reb Tarfan, who disagree with the Rabbanah of our Mishnah. And because the opinion of the Rabbanah of our Mishnah is like we said for Reb Shub ben Levi, is because, like Reb Shesha said, because of Yeshuba Shalaylam. And in the Mishnah, when Rabbi Huda was saying, he was explaining the opinion of the Rabbanan of the Mishnah. But this Braisa is a third opinion. It's Rabbi Huda named Rav Tarfon. Because the time like learned in the Braisa is told about the halachas of taking an oath to be a Nazir. It's told about where two people are sitting, and an individual walks by. And this guy says, you know that guy who is walking by? He's a Nazir. The other guy says, what are you talking about? He's not a Nazir. So this guy gets up and he says, hey, you know what? If it's like what I'm saying, that he's a Nazir, I'll be a Nazir too. The other guy says, you know what? I'll be a Nazir if it's like me, that he's not a Nazir. Now, both of them are intending to be a Nazir if they're right. Now, it turns out that obviously it's got to be one or the other, that one of them ends up being right, whether he was a Nazir or not a Nazir. Now, on that, Rabbi Huda Oymer Mishum Reb Tarfon, he says the name of Reb Tarfon, that La'olam ain't echad mehem Nazir. Neither one are going to be a Nazir, even though it turns out that one of them is right, because initially, when they both said it, they didn't know for sure. They were doubtful. He was saying, I know he is. He was saying, I know he's not. And so they both promised to be a Nazir if either one of them is right. But no one knew 100% what he was or not. So since it was based on doubt, they're neither one are going to be a Nazir. Why? Naziris as to accept upon oneself a vow of Naziris, to be a Nazir, is only possible if there is hafla. Now, this is not hafla because when it says kiyafli ish linda nedu, when the person is going to be mafli, that means to clarify, to be 100% with five-finger clarity when you're taking upon yourself the nedu. Here, although it turns out that you were right, when you said you didn't know, that's not going to be a valid acceptance of Naziris. So one thing we see from Reb Tarfon is that when a person makes his stipulation contingent on something that's not 100% in his hand, and he doesn't really know the facts, even so, it's going to be considered an asmachta. And therefore, when it's a situation of doubt, it's not conclusive, it's not 100%. And therefore, you're not going to be a nazir because it's not 100%. That's the same thing for the halacha of our Mishnah, where it says Rav Sheshes, oh, this braisa is not like Rama Bar Chama. Rabbi Yehuda is the same as the Tanna Kamma, which is that it's based on that asik b'shuva shalaylam. This braisa makes it sound like that even if it's asik b'shuva shalaylam is going to be possible, which sounds like Rama Bar Chama's interpretation of because of smacht leikanya. That's a third opinion. That we find is Reb Tarfon's opinion, which he says, like that concept, which is even the lower level umdana that Rabbi Muhammad was talking about, which is unless you have 100% clarity, you don't think you're going to end up doing that thing. So even though you're saying, yeah, if it's like me that I think he's a Nazir, and it turns out that he is a Nazir, I'll be a Nazir. No, you don't end up being a Nazir. Because when you said it, you didn't really think you were going to do it. You didn't know 100%. And that's the same thing over here. When a person's gambling, yeah, I might lose, but I don't think I'm really going to lose. That's considered asmachta. That's considered I'm still relying that I'm not going to, and that's not going to be a valid kinyan. And therefore, according to Reb Tarfon, yeah, he holds like Rama Bar Chama, but not like the Tana of our Mishnah, which again, Rav Sheshes holds like Shuma Levi, that Rabbi Yehuda and the Tana are the same thing, which is because of Asik Yishuv B'Shalaylam. Reb Tarfon is the one who says this concept of Umdina, that I'm asmachta, which is that, yeah, I don't know for sure, I don't think so, and therefore I'm not all the way in, and again, that's why you're not going to be a Nazir in that context, and therefore in the halacha, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, Reb Tarfon would also hold that, yeah, you're not going to be, even if you have a day job, it's still going to make a person puzzle as a gambler, because ultimately the person doesn't think he's going to lose, and therefore that would be valid according to Reb Tarfon, like Rama Bar Chama, who he was interpreting the Tana of our Mishnah like that would be considered asmachta and asmachta lekanya, and therefore would be considered some form of stealing when the person wins in the hand of gambling against the other person, and therefore would make him puzzle as an aid or a dying.